At 13 minutes past 6, time to get into the day's top business news, starting with reaction to the latest cabinet reshuffle. The Rand drew a sharp reaction from the latest cabinet reshuffle, in which Higher Education Minister Bladen Zamande was axed and several other ministers were moved to various portfolios. The local currency was also affected by the strength of the US dollar as it tracked other emerging market currencies. Political economist Daniel Silk joins us for this conversation. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
Daniel, let's start with this marking President Jacob Zuma's second reshuffle this year and reportedly the 11th in his two terms in office. What message does this send amid continued concerns over political uncertainty in South Africa?
Well, it certainly doesn't add to a feeling of ease, and I think that's what left everybody a little bit jittery here. Look, I think the headline issue to me is the retribution or revenge exacted against Bladen Zamande. Clearly, Zamande had been particularly critical of Jacob Zuma. The Communist Party themselves have largely distanced themselves from Zuma and from even supporting, of course, Mrs. Zuma at the end of the year. This was the time now for the president, I think, to flex his muscles. It's part of the sort of incremental flexing of the muscles the president has done over the last few months, including the axing of Pravin Gordhan and Jerzy Jonas.
Yeah.
So we're just seeing a continuation of that. But clearly also, I think there was an effort to strengthen the president's hands, to move some of his more loyal supporters closer to him. I think that was also the message by bringing David Mashlobo in as energy minister, somebody I think President Zuma relies upon and perhaps can take the issue surrounding this nuclear deal forward if that is a motivating factor.
I'm glad you raised the David Mashlobo element and the speculation around him being placed in that energy department to basically or reportedly make sure that the nuclear build goes through. What's to be said in detail about speculation around that? Does this bode well for President Jacob Zuma flexing muscle? Does it even matter because this process was already unfolding?
Well, I think the real question, and you're right, does it really matter? Because whether or not there will be any fresh impetus to sign on the dotted line in the next few months is certainly, it's not clear at all whether in fact South Africa will be able to undergo anything near the originally desired nuclear build program, despite indeed the appointment of somebody like Mashlobo, who is really regarded as somewhat of a pro-nuclear person.
Uh-huh.
So my own view is that, look, this might be more symbolic than anything else. It might be an attempt, in a sense, to ram through this nuclear deal, perhaps before the end of Jacob Zuma's term. And if Jacob Zuma himself is feeling insecure, if he feels as though that his anointed candidate, Mrs. Zuma, is indeed not likely to make it, there may be an attempt to get the deal done as quickly as possible, and this could be a precursor to that. But I'm not sure that even under those circumstances that Jacob Zuma and his new energy minister will be able to take the matter forward. There could be further legal challenges against this issue. And of course, Treasury itself would have to sign off on this massive capital commitment if it was to go ahead.
Having mentioned Dr. Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma and the presidential election or presidential race in the governing ANC, it was a bit of a surprise following reports that she may be given a post in cabinet. And now we see her remaining in the bank benches the National Assembly. How do we respond to this one? Was this a strategic move or was it not in the pipeline?
Well, I certainly would have expected her to have been elevated to a cabinet position. It would have given her additional status and it would have afforded her a more senior ranking than a backbencher. In the absence of that, I suppose all one can really say is that either the president was really unable to go the extra mile to boost her into cabinet, given the sharp differences of opinion, the factionalization of the broader ANC and its leadership structure. To bring her in and make her look as though she is the anointed candidate herself would have perhaps been equally difficult for the president to do. That's the one option as to why he held back. The second option, indeed, is perhaps indeed there are other candidates that look as though they're more likely to be one of the leading lights or perhaps even get that nod at the end of the year. And Mrs. Zuma, to some degree, might well be not in the pound seat at the moment. Look, my own view is that the president is playing a rather strategic role here. He will rock the boat to some extent. In other words, he will eliminate Bladen Zamande. He will anger the Communist Party. In fact, they've been very angry by this. He will create a certain degree of uncertainty within the alliance, but at the same time, he won't go that extra step, certainly at the moment, to bring Mrs. Zuma in and make it look as though she's the anointed candidate. So this could be a strategic step-by-step approach from the president, and I would still expect Mrs. Zuma to be the anointed candidate for Jacob Zuma, but she is increasingly facing opposition, not only from Cyril Ramaphosa, but clearly also from a compromised candidate like Zweli Mkhize.
The SACP is definitely annoyed. So is the other alliance partner in the tripartite alliance with the ANC government, which is COSATU, coming out today saying that they reject this latest cabinet reshuffle. And ANC Secretary General Gwede Mantashe saying that they were informed and not consulted on this matter. Is this too much of rattling the boat by the president?
But it seems that the president wants to rattle the boat. So I think that from his point of view, he made the decision. It's his prerogative to shuffle the chairs in the cabinet deck, and he did so. He wasn't afraid of the consequences. I suppose his view is that the Communist Party are already so distanced from the Zuma administration that whatever he does doesn't really have much consequence with them. For Jacob Zuma, this is retribution. This is simply taking revenge against Bladen Zamandi. But at the same time, I think the alliance now falls into an even more precarious position than before today. And even the more considered Gwede Mantashe, as you correctly say, has been very vocal in his opposition to not being consulted. So we really are seeing President Zuma sort of, I would say, end of term, the last, vestiges of his power are being played out through these cabinet reshuffles, the Pravin Gordhan one, this one today. But he's not ingratiating himself with anybody. And in a sense, he's also making life very difficult for Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma. If she carries the baton, if she's the candidate of continuity from Jacob Zuma, she, by implication, is indeed embroiled in all of this. And she's finding her own position even more difficult today than perhaps it was yesterday.
Lastly, doesn't this make Finance Minister Malusiki Gigaba's U.S. trip to woo investors and meet with rating agencies even more difficult, especially because Pravin Gordhan was on a similar trip when he and his deputy were recalled, something Gigaba may still be defending in his current engagements abroad?
Well, I think the Gigaba mission at the moment, I think, is quite divorced from the internal wranglings of today's cabinet reshuffle. I don't think Bladen Zamandi's axing is going to have any resonance outside of South Africa, certainly with investors. And Gigaba himself, who's playing, I might add, quite a clever game of, I think, being the sort of everybody to everyone, I think he will continue to, put a fairly brave face forward. For most, I think, outside of South Africa, today's reshuffle is not of great consequence, but I think what would be of great consequence clearly is if a massive capital commitment was made to a nuclear build program. That wouldn't resonate well amongst investors. That wouldn't resonate well amongst the rating agencies, certainly. And if today is a precursor to that, then I think markets will be watching the activities of government very carefully in the next few months.
As a final and parting shot, rating agencies, how are they likely to see this?
Well, again, I think it raises the specter of government expenditure going out of control on a nuclear build program. But as I've said, whilst the specter is raised, I'm not sure that the reality is going to match that. And I think that it depends on what goes forward, really, in terms of this particular deal. This nuclear build deal is potentially highly damaging to our fiscus going forward. That capital commitment for the next decade or so is quite enormous. And given the current constraints on our debt to GDP ratios, it would certainly be, I think, foolish to embark upon any such plan. So those rating agencies will be watching very carefully. I think they're already somewhat skeptical as to whether we can get ourselves out of the mess we're in with the current leadership in place. And on that basis, they're going to be biding their time until the end of the year at that all-important conference.
Thank you so much for your input, political economist Daniel Silke, talking us through reaction to the latest cabinet reshuffle.